Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
So good to see everyone in the house of God. Good to see the house full of people seeking God, God worshipers, Jesus followers. Call us whatever you want, but I don't know about you, but I know I'm crazy about Jesus, aren't you? I love God, right? All he does for us, you know? God is good, amen? God is good. That's why we're here all the time. God is so, so good. I'm going to start a new series this morning. A brand new theme is coming up. So before we do it, let's just bow our heads. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father, in Jesus' name, thank for the power of your word. Open up our hearts, open up our minds to the word of God. Father, may our minds be fully open to hear what your spirit has to say. May our hearts fully believe the word that's going to be preached today. And may our feet fully walk out humbly the word of God that literally sets us free, releases into the potential of a great life, serving God and glorifying your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You know, God is so good. God is good when we don't even realize that he's good. Right? He's good to us. God is good to us when we're driving those icy roads. God is good to us. He gives us a roof over our head, homes that are nice and cozy when it's so cold out there. God is good. He gives us vehicles to drive so we don't have to walk to church. God is good. God gives us friends who speak the truth to us, right, in love, you know, and help us to walk this life together. God gives us family. God gives us a family of church called the church. God gives us a tremendous gift called the church, the family of faith. God, and through the church, he protects us. He provides for us. Right? He heals us. He blesses us. God, when it's so good, when you start to add up and you think about all the good things that God does for you, you got to admit that God is good. Yeah. Amen? You know? Now, how good is God? You know, so what does James Brown say? So here's what James Brown says. So James Brown, how good is God? Let's see if we can get James to tell us how good God is. Let's see if that works.
So good, so good, I got a year.
So good, let's do that again. Let's do it a little bit louder, okay? James, how good is God?
So
come on.
Good.
So good, I got a year. That's how good God is, right? Yeah. God is so good. Here's what Paul says. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now, all glory to God, who was able, through his mighty power, at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Here's the key words, sir. God is able. God is able. And God can do, and God can do anything. And God can do more, able and more, far more, infinitely more. Listen, God has a plan for you in 2019. He's not done with you yet. God has something fresh and something new for you. Amen? In the beginning of this year, we want to remind you that you are currently living in the time of your greatest potential. You can't do anything about your past, but you can do something about your future. I want to tell you, now is the time. Potential. People have potential, but people also die with their potential, right? God wants us to fulfill our potential. When we're talking about potential, we're talking about your unused strengths, those hidden talents that yet to come out, those untapped abilities that are in you, that you won't even know that they're there until you start to begin to walk into the future with faith with God. Amen? Here's a classical story. Here's a classical story that's in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. And it's a story with a tremendous lesson. It was a lesson that applies to every people group throughout history, right down to us today. And it's a story about the Israelites. While they were traveling, while they were journeying to the land that God had promised them. And so Moses, the leader, sends out some men to explore the land, to find out what kind of land it was and what kind of people are actually living in the land. And so here's the scripture. The following scripture is a response to what they found out when they returned. And here's what they said. Here's what Numbers chapter 13, 23 says. When they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes. So large, say with me, so large. So large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole. Let's look at the next picture. That's an artist's rendition of the grapes that they found. A single cluster of grapes, so large it took two of them to carry it. So you know what they did? Because they found those grapes, next verse says, that place was called the Valley of Eshcol, which means cluster. Because of this cluster, verse 25, next verse 25, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land that you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Here's what Caleb said. Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the other man who had explored the land with him, they basically saw the same thing, right? But they disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. And so they spread a bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. This story serves as a powerful example throughout the ages, right down to us today. This story is one of those stories with here's the good news, but here's the bad news. So point number one, here's the good news about that story. Classic story. Number one, the good news is this, that God has grapes for you. And he has more grapes than you ever even imagined, planned for your life. He doesn't have grapes. He has a cluster of grapes planned for you this year. What God has ahead of you in 2019 is going to be so good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This is what Paul said. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Does that mean you? Yeah. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. God's not going to hide you from you what he has for you. Amen? Our Creator, our God, created us with this unique ability, every single one of us, with this ability to think and to dream big. Not just one time, but throughout our lifetime. He gives us the ability to keep thinking big and dreaming big, big things, right? So here's the question. What are some of your dreams? Do you have any dreams for this coming year? What are some of your dreams? What are some of the grapes that you want in your life, that you want God to give you? Do you have any of those? I believe you do have. Every one of you should have something that I want to see God do. I want to see something happen in my life this year. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 is a well-known verse to many of us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. What kind of plans? To prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. I love what the psalmist responds. It's like this: the psalmist heard these verses, and in verse 25, verse 4, he responds by saying, he says, okay, God, I believe that, so here, show me the way, show me the right path, point out the road for me to follow, because I want everything that God has for me that's good. Amen? That should be your attitude. Listen, God is not offended when you ask him to do big things for you. God's not offended, right? You know, sometimes we just hold back. We don't ask God for the things that we desire because we think, well, that'd just be selfish, right? But you know, sometimes your desire is an indicator of God's will for your life. Do you believe that? Some of those desires, that's just not you. It's God in you. Well, I need a better education. I want a better job. I want to get into this career. You know, I want to get in my dead-end job. I want to, you know, that's God's desire in your life. I want to do something to help that people group. I want to do something. I want more time to serve. I want to go to this third world country. Desire. Often desire is an indicator of God's will in your life, right? God is trying to show you something. I love what D.L. Moody says. God is not bothered by our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is not to come at all. Do you believe that? God loves it when we come to him. Here's what Jesus said in Mark 11, 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, to this obstacle, to this problem, to this illness, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Three words: ask, believe, and receive. This year, let's ask, let's believe, and let's receive. Amen? Yeah. Believing is what we are called to do, right? If you want to move ahead with God, you want to see God do great things in your life, then you've got to keep your mind open to the possibilities that seem impossible. Jesus said it. Listen, many, many things are impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. I want to give you a great illustration. Now, I've used this illustration before, so some of you might recognize it. But I think this is very appropriate for today. It's about this guy. His name is, let's go to that next slide. This is Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus was a Spanish explorer who discovered America in the 1400s. Now, the land he was living in is Spain. And at that time, in that civilization, the people there thought that Spain was literally the end of all civilization, that there was nothing beyond Spain. And so if you were a visitor or you were a guest or you went to, you know, you're a tourist to Spain, you see all kinds of signs with this inscription, three words written on signs, written on statues. The three words are this: ne plus ultra, which means no more beyond. No more beyond. And so the people living there, they all accepted that and never did, you know, they never moved beyond, they never ventured beyond that, and they just settled there in Spain. Spain was a bustling metropolis. Because everybody just settled there. Listen, we settle, don't we? We settle mentally. We settle spiritually. We stop thinking. We stop dreaming beyond where we are. We stop hoping. We stop believing. We settle. Everyone settles. Old people settle. Young people settle too. People of different ethnicities settle, right? Organizations settle. Churches can settle. Christians can settle, right? And they settled in that time. But listen, after Columbus discovered a new world, everything changed. Everything changed after that. And they took those three words, they took off that first word, it's no longer ne plus ultra, it was plus ultra, more beyond. Can I say to you, there's more beyond for you. There's way more beyond for you in your experience in this life and what God has for you than what you've experienced up to this point in time. Way, way more. God is so, so good, and he has way more planned for your life in 2019. So that's the good news. There's grapes for you beyond what you could ever imagine that God has planned for your life. But here's the not so good news. Point number two, the not so good news, that there are giants in the land where these grapes are. There will be obstacles. There will be giants. There will be mountains between you and you reaching your dreams, getting your grapes. I remember this saying, for every new level that you want to go in your life, there's a brand new what? For every new level, there's a new
devil.
Right. There's opposition. There are forces that will work against you to keep you from getting what God wants to give to you and what God wants to do through you. Amen? And you got to fight through those things. The good news is that there's going to be opposition. You're going to experience problems. You're going to experience lack. But listen, here's what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8:37. Yet in the midst of all of these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than what? Conquerors. And his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. Philippians 4:13, Paul said, listen, I can do everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, there are giants. There's opposition. But I want to tell you, God is with you. God is with you. God is with us. You know, I believe that if we're going to see the good things, if we're going to get the grapes that God has for us in 2019, then we're going to have a different spirit than we had in 2018, right? I want the spirit, I need the spirit of Caleb. No, 10 guys, right? Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They had the Holy Spirit in them. And you're the same spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit in you, right? I want that type of internal passion that Caleb had. Say, God, yeah, you guys, you're looking at it in the wrong way. I want all that God has for me. Amen. Number three follows on the heels of point number two. To get the good things God has for you, you will have to fight for it. Fight for it. One of the mistakes that people make is the assume that if God wants to give me something, I won't have to fight for it. You'll have to fight. This is a scripture in Proverbs that says, an inheritance gained quickly at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. In other words, you know, if somebody just throws it into your lap, it's not blessed. You know, it'll be cursed really at the end. Listen, anything that's worth obtaining will take hard work, it will take faith, right? And will take an effort to get it. You'll have to fight for the good things that God has for you. And that picture in Numbers is a perfect example. Yeah, there were giants, but God was with them. There was no giant that was stronger than God. No problem is bigger than God, right? Nothing in your life is invincible. Everything in life through God is attainable. Amen? In the Old Testament is a story about a guy named Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who had a dream. Had a vision to rebuild the broken down walls of his beloved homeland of his beloved city, Jerusalem. See, the people, this is at the end of the 70 years prior to that, God had allowed Babylon to come and literally destroy the city of Jerusalem, the capital city, and just raise it right to the ground. But now it was at the end of the 70 years, and the people of God were coming back to Jerusalem from all the places they had been scattered. And they were coming back to the city that literally had no walls and had no gates. And so they were attacked by the enemies, by marauders, and people were losing their lives. And Nehemiah heard this, and he was a Jewish man. He was a Hebrew serving the king in Persia, which used to be Babylon, but conquered by the Persians. I'm giving you too much information here. Let me cut to the quick. Anyway, he's serving the king. He's the cupbearer to the king. And one day the king says, "Hey, you look kind of sad today. What's up?" And Nehemiah explains the situation. And the king says, "You know what? Go. Go build your walls. Go put back the gates in place. I'm sending you. And I'm giving you authority. I'm even making you governor over that province. And I'm even giving you resources to help you build the walls." Nehemiah was so excited. He took off. He went to that place. When he got to that city, it was not as he expected it. He told the people, "We're going to rebuild the walls." He found out there were people that did not want the walls to be rebuilt. And they said, "If you rebuild the walls, we're going to take your life." Some of them were even relatives, distant relatives of the Jews that were living in that place. You know? But Nehemiah was determined. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, says, this is what Nehemiah says. After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, and your daughters, and your wives, and your homes." He said, fight. You know, that's a picture of the church, isn't it? We fight for our homes, our families, our future together, amen? You know, and you know, listen, when you want to do something for God, when you want to do something great for God, you're going to have critics who are going to keep you from fulfilling your dreams. You're going to have people criticize you. You're going to have factors will discourage you. But listen, in the fight, you'll have to fight. We have to fight for every good thing that we have, really. But God is in the fight. God is with you. And here's the thing about the fight, the struggle. It's good for us. When God allows us to fight for the good things and to go to him and to trust to him for it, it stretches us. It stretches our faith. It causes us to trust in him more. It causes us to celebrate the fact that God is so good and he's helping us to do it. Amen? The fight is good. The fight stretches us. It strengthens us. You know, and here's the thing. You don't fight alone. You fight with God, but you fight together. And Nehemiah, this picture, the story of Nehemiah is such a good picture of the church. Every family, every member, all the families got together. They began to fight and to build a wall up together. And they built that wall within a record miracle time, 52 days. They did it together, right? So here's the next point. To get the good things, first of all, we said you're going to have to fight for them. And point eight, to get the good things, you will also have to let go of some other things. Burton preached a great word last week. Called, you got to burn the ships, right? There are some things, some negative things that we got to let go. Sometimes the biggest fight is just to let go, just to push past some of the negative things that happened to us in the past. Amen? No, like disappointments. How many had disappointments last year? How about mistakes that you made, right? You know, how about discouragements that almost, you know, kept you just down last year? You know, everybody makes mistakes, right? Everybody has disappointments. Mistakes? I can count on more than, you know, two hands of mistakes I made last year. You know, and I can get discouraged about them. I can get condemned. And I can just wallow in that. But you know what? God is saying, push those aside. Get past those things, right? Move, let them go. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes the biggest fight is to just let go of the negative things, right? So God is saying, let the disappointments go. Push back, you know, push past those things. Push past discouragement. Let them go, you know? And all of us experience those things. You know, we've had disappointments, mistakes. You know, we've even had relationships that kind of went sideways. You know, we got to let some old things go. Sometimes it's even, you got to let old relationships go that are kind of keeping you from moving forward, right? You got to do that. You can't linger in those things, in those things that keep you from moving forward. Amen? You got to move forward. Painful things. I don't know about you, but Karen and I were talking about 2018. You know, 2018 for us was a painful year. We've experienced some hard things last year. And if you didn't, praise God, you didn't. But I know that many people were like us. It was an emotionally gut-wrenching time for us last year. We had some difficult things that we had to move through. But you know, but we look at all those things that happened to us. We think, you know what? We learned some things. We didn't, yeah, it stretched our faith. You know, and we say, well, God, why didn't this happen? Why didn't you come through for us? Do you ever feel that way? But God wants us, but it taught us to trust God and hang in there and not give up. You know, we look back at 2018, we say, you know, there was a lot of trials and testings. We learned a lot of lessons in 2018. Where 2018 was a year of lessons, so that 2019 will be a year of blessings. Amen? Amen? God has blessings for us. In fact, what's going to happen this year in 2019 could not have happened unless we went through what we did in year 2018. Amen? 2018 was a preparation year for what you're going to experience this year in 2019. Amen? God has good things planned for you, way beyond. Here's what Paul says about all those negative things that happened to us. He says, but one thing I do, Philippians 3:13, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen? Good word. Number four, when it comes to your future, don't count yourself out. And don't think of yourself as being too small. Amen? Don't do that. Numbers 13. We saw the response of those 10 spies that did exactly that. They said, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Another version says, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Listen, their problem was not an external problem. Their problem was an internal problem. The problem was the way they thought, the way they saw, and the way they felt about themselves, right? That was their problem. They didn't see. They were both, look, 10 spies, 12 spies. They both saw the same thing. They were really physically, they saw the same thing. But internally, they saw differently, right? That was their problem. God has more for us, but it's so much dependent on the way we see things, our attitude towards what we see. They saw the problems. When we see the problems, we can literally miss out on our future, right? Because we count ourselves out and we think that we're too small. And that's what these 10 spies did. God has good plans for you. God has big plans for you. Amen? God has big plans for you. God created everything with purpose and with potential. And you are not an exception, right? Second, point A. Know that everything you need to do for what God has planned for you to do in 2019, God has given you everything that you need. You have everything that you need to fulfill God's purpose in 2019. God has an endless source of generous supply for you. Do you believe that? Whatever God has called you to do, He's the source of your supply. I love what 2 Peter 1:3 says. For His divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through a true and personal knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Do you believe that? He's got everything necessary for you to live a life that He's called. He's given you everything for a life that's a godly life, a great life. You know, He's talking about life here. He's not talking about eternal life. He's talking about life right here and now, right? In our lifetime, right? When you read the Bible, you'll see that the Bible is full of people who achieved and did extraordinary things for the glory of God. Men and women who recognize and realize that it was their time, right? And so they took their turn. And in doing so, they blessed so many other people and they extended the kingdom of God and they glorified His name. Think of all the people who did that in the Bible. What about Esther? Do you remember that story of a young Esther? Young peasant girl stepped up under time, stood up and told the king about this wicked guy named Haman who declared an all-out genocide over the people. Right? She was a young peasant girl living in. She stood up. She went before the king. She took her turn. And she literally turned the tide against the enemy, against God's people. Right? You think about it. People like Daniel, living in a very confined place in a foreign land, he rises up. He takes his, it's his time and it's his turn. He rises up to greatness. You know, there are people in here, you guys. God has the same plan for you. You've got unrealized potential within you, right? To rise up and to really do something for God. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not like those guys. You know, I'm just an ordinary Joe Blow schmuck. You know, I'm like everybody else, you know. Come on! You're not like everyone else. You are fearfully and wonderfully created by God to do His purposes. Amen? There's nobody like you. After God made you, He broke the mold, right? Somebody says, thank God for that, you know. You are so unique. You are so wonderful. You are precious in God's sight. You are so precious. You know, you're God's your peace. What is it? There's a French word. Pièce de résistance. That means you're the best thing ever for that God ever made, right? God loves you so much. You're the crown. You know, you're the jewel in His crown. When you think about jewels in God's crown, if we're His jewels, His most precious thing, you know, when a king has a crown and one of the jewels is missing, what is he? When he looks at his crown, what does he see? He sees the missing person. He sees the one that's missing. That's God's heart for us, right? Jesus said it in the parable of the sheep. The shepherd has 100 sheep. You know, he's got 100 sheep. One goes astray. Where's his heart? Where's his passion? Where's his, you know, where's his vision? It's on the one that's missing. That's how important you are to God. God loves you so much. God made you with such incredible potential. Well, I don't know. You know, I wish I was that guy. Listen. God made you with potential, right? You know, you don't discover your potential. God's already determined your potential, right? He's already determined. It's like a manufacturer or a creator. You know, he's already determined the potential of what He designed and what He created. In the same way, God is predetermined our potential. Amen? You don't discover your potential. You find your potential. Amen? So stop wishing that you are someone else. Amen? Stop doing that. God has made you to be who you are. You don't decide your potential. You discover your potential. You have great potential. Can you admit that to yourself and say, I have great potential? I have great potential. You don't sound very convinced. You know what? I realized I haven't even tapped into all that I could do for God. I've got stuff in me that God put in me. I haven't even tried and tested yet. And I won't find out until I stretch myself and let God use me. Amen? You don't even know what God can do for you. So you have great potential. So in 2019, here's the wind down. Here's the to-do that I want you to do. Amen? So in 2019, here's what you can do. First thing you do, celebrate who you are. Celebrate who you are, right? You want to find out who you are? Read the owner's manual. What's it called? The Bible. People don't know who they are. And you'll never know who you are until you find out God, what God says you are. You find out who you are, your identity, when you read the Word of God, because it's God's personal letter to you. It's the handbook, it's a manual. You know what God would tell you? You are fearfully and you are wonderfully created to do my purposes. Amen? That's who you are. So number one, celebrate who you are. Next thing, pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. What are you allowing into your mind? What are you allowing into your heart? What voices are speaking into your life? Whose voices are you listening to? Right? What kind of people are you hanging out with? The voices, the people that you hang out with can determine your future. So make sure they're the right ones. Here's a third thing you can do. Cultivate what you have. Cultivate what you have. What do you have that you need to cultivate? What do you recognize right now? What gifts, what talents, what abilities? What do you have right now that you could cultivate? Next one, develop what's inside of you. Every one of us has potential that needs to be developed. Develop it. Allow yourself to be stretched. Here's something you could do. Volunteer, serve, give in some area. Find out what's inside of you, right? Next one, maximize your opportunities. There were opportunities that came last year that I know that we missed, that I missed because I hesitated. Maximize your opportunities. There are opportunities currently in front of you. What are they, right? Last one, walk through the doors that God is opening up for you. What are the doors that God is opening up? What doors are you praying for God to open up? Amen? That's just a short list of the attitude and the way that you can walk into 2019. Amen? But here, listen to this. Only you can realize and live out your potential, right? It's up to you. You can release your own potential. Other people can help you find your potential, right? Other people can help you discover your potential. Also, you can discover your potential by attending the City Light Growth Track, too, by the way. If you haven't done it, sign up. Discover what your gifts, talents, your abilities are, and where you can serve, right? Other people can help you discover, you can learn, discover what your potential is, but only you can cultivate and release your potential. God is challenging you and I right now. We have this incredible potential within us. We have incredible opportunities before us. But we got to say, okay, here, God, here I am. Stretch me, use me, right? Let's do it this year. Amen? You know, when we're moving forward, it's so much less about what we're leaving behind. So much more about what we're heading to. Amen? What are we heading into? Great things. God has many great things for you this coming year. He's got grapes for you. More grapes than you would ever imagine plan for your life, right? I want you to have the same attitude that Caleb had. I want you to have the attitude of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're going to make a declaration, and I've written out a declaration, and I know that you guys are gung-ho and ready to agree with me, amen? So can we stand up for just a minute? All right, repeat after me. Say it right to Jesus. 2019 is my year.
2019 is my year.
It's my time.
It's my time.
And I'm going to take my turn.
I'm
doing it for Jesus.
I'm doing it for His kingdom.
I'm going to fire up my motor.
My internal passion.
and I'm going to shift into a new spiritual gear.
I'm moving forward.
I'm crossing the line
into
2019. I'm going for the grapes.
More grapes than I can imagine.
God, I want my cluster.
In Jesus' name.
And if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the good things you have for us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Please be seated. Please be seated. Just bow your heads for a minute. You know, God, you are so good. You have more for us. Way more. Better for us. Better life. Better marriages. Better family. Better finances. Health. Healing. You have new for us. New relationships, new ministries, new blessings. Good things you have planned for us in 2019. So we thank you that as we press in, as we trust you, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we will receive, we will experience the goodness of God in this time, in this land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.